This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live with a special edition of the IT in the D Show. We're sitting here in beautiful Comerica Park, right underneath Section 112, across the street from the Fox Theater, where 10X Detroit is going on. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Got a special guest here. Adam Janai's here. He's a custom car builder from Mob Steel. And Eric's like, what in the heck am I going to talk to a couple IT guys about? And I said, we like cars. Just because we're IT guys doesn't mean.
I got a car.
Yeah, I have a car. So I guess custom car. How did you get started? And I was reading on your bio, your grandpa owned a Ford dealership.
Yeah. Well, stepped away. You already work out the deal to get him to pimp the 76 Caddy? Or?
Oh, we'll talk about that in a minute. But you were pretty much raised in the business, right?
Yeah, I mean, my story is no different than anybody else. I'm a product of the automotive environment, which is this whole area. I mean, Detroit, Michigan, it wraps all the way around through Cleveland and Ohio and, Tonawanda, New York. And
well, you're not born and raised in Detroit. Oh, yeah, your dad had a muscle car and your dad had a boat. Yeah. That's pretty much when you grew up.
Exactly.
It didn't matter. You could not eat for 3 months as long as your dad had enough to have that third car in the house.
Yep.
And you had a little fishing boat.
Yeah, in our case, we had two broken down ones in the yard.
Right, right.
And had hopes and dreams.
Sure.
My grandfather had a dealership. My other grandfather started out in the steel mills down here, worked his way up to an office in the Penobscot building, and eventually became an entrepreneur. And, I'm just a product of my environment, essentially.
Sure.
And when things started to take a downturn, we just started having fun. We decided we're just going to do what we love to do. If we're going to be broke, we'll be broke and happy. I say that all the time. And we just worked really hard. That was the one thing we knew, I knew how to do, was just work hard. I was raised in a shop.
Sure. So. Now, I know, custom choppers, that's everyone knows about that.
Oh, yeah.
Custom cars, talk to me about that, because I don't want to say they're rare, but you'll see souped-up cars, you'll see, different things at shows and whatnot, but, I guess walk me through what a custom car is.
We started out, the projects were small. We didn't have a big budget, so it was just me. I had an old welder and a workbench, and, my first car, we had 13 grand into it. And I sold it for $13,500. So that was a success for me.
Right.
But now they've gotten to the point where, some of the customers are building cars well into the six figures. And they're beautiful cars. We design and build them from scratch. So we'll take a great car that the men and women designed and built back in the 60s, 50s, 70s. We celebrate all kinds of cars that were built here in Detroit. And then we take those and we put our touches on them. We bring them back to life. And the biggest thing that we do is we celebrate that history. The automotive industry. We celebrate the big three, and we celebrate the people that created that product. Because I didn't, if I'm working on a 72 F-100, I didn't build that
right.
truck. That truck was great because somebody built that in 72. I just have the opportunity to put my hands on it again and make it our own and put our touch and look and feel on it and put it back on the street. And, it's just rewarding. It's a lot of fun.
I got a red 76 Cadillac convertible.
I'm so down.
And there's no more. Well, my dad had a 77 Primrose Pink.
Okay.
And this was like an ode to my father. He turned 70. The next year was his 50th wedding anniversary. So I'm like, Pop, I'm buying this ride. I had an old 70 Vet, and I traded it even up, which was the best trade I ever did in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can drive whenever you want. I'll take care of it. Which was, basically he got to drive it once and it's mine. But that thing, it's amazing the difference in car. Like, it's got a 500 engine in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the hood is longer than me. I'm 6'3". And that thing's quieter than any car I've ever driven in my life.
Yeah, they're impressive, man. When you move into the late 60s, early 70s, especially a GM product, the numbers were high. They were building a lot of them, and they really had it down pat. You can still get 70s cars, 60s, late 60s cars, especially Cadillacs. You get in them, the doors close nice, no wind leaks. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
And I don't know if it's just because I'm old, but you don't see where's the 88 Mustang GT50? That was my favorite car ever.
Fox
and
bodies.
you never see those. Those aren't
good.
Like, if you drive it on Woodward, it's not considered a classic car, even though it's 25 years old. Yeah. It's funny to me. Like, is that because a product of my age, or is that just?
It is. And you'll see that that demographic starting to shift already. We see we're seeing the prices of even some 70 cars now are compressing. That's my thing. Like, we just did a 74. A 74, a 78, a 67. We're starting to do some more of these cars on our TV show because I know that's what's next. So you can see that trend keep pushing. Now, there'll always be room for Tri-5 Chevys. There'll always be room for the 50 Mercs. But the problem is in this economy, people don't have the money to get into a 50 Merc, even though it's one of the most iconic hot rods you could get, or a old Vet or something like that. The entry level price is high.
Right.
It's high. So people are starting to say,
we watch those auction shows. It's crazy what they're getting for some of these cars.
Yeah. So, but you can go out and get a great 76 Cadillac at a good price. And a lot of the times they're almost like new.
It was 45,000 original miles. I paid 15 grand for it. I mean, where are you going to go?
There you go. Exactly.
Seriously. Am I going to buy a Porsche for 110 grand? No, I'd buy 10 of these before I bought one Porsche. Are you kidding?
You buy a real piece of Detroit steel.
Oh, yeah.
And you get in it and you rule the road.
Right.
That's what we're all about.
And you hit a deer. Who cares? Just keep,
it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
So TV show, what's up with that? Where are you, what channel?
I can't announce. We got picked up by a big one.
Okay.
And it's very exciting for us, and they're going to be releasing that here very shortly. We've started filming in July. We're filming through to January. We have a lot of great projects that we've worked on.
So it's like West Coast Choppers, Detroit style?
Absolutely.
Cool.
And we got our mark, our brand really grew because we were doing something different. We were building big body, old Lincoln Continentals and all this big stuff. We weren't building your typical muscle car or Camaro or
low riders and all. We
just did our own thing, and it helped brand us, and we got recognized. And then here we are 14 years later, doing a second season, our first season with this new network. But this is a really big deal for us. It was, they're letting us a little more freedom. We're getting to express ourselves. They're really behind us. I'm really excited for the show to come out.
They're going to have you like hardcore pawn, where they have you fighting with your dad and like arguing about with your sister. And
there'll be some consistencies from last season. We really celebrate the fact that we're allowed to do this every day. And I really wanted to come across on the TV show that we're playing for a living. And we know that a million people would trade places with us in a second. So the behavior has to reflect that. And my guys really, truly love what they do. And it was one of the things that we got the biggest feedback on the show was people are like, wow, I can watch this with my 9-year-old daughter. There's not a lot of bleeping. There's not a lot of this, not a lot of that. We just want people to know that we're trying to be, respectful of the fact that if you're watching the show or you're buying our merchandise or you're interested in what we do, that, we don't take for granted the opportunities that we have here in Detroit and the opportunities we have to work with the great people around here, and we have such freedom to be able to do what we do, and it's, we appreciate that, and it's such an awesome journey. I mean, I'm sitting here talking with you guys because I hit stuff with a hammer.
Right.
I've done AC Delco commercials. I was just up on stage.
That's okay. We're sitting here talking with you because we liked to drink and people thought we'd be funny and should have microphones.
Yeah, do you see what I'm saying? That's right. Awesome. I mean, this is the greatest country in the world, and I think sometimes we lose focus of that. Like, you really, truly can do anything you want to do.
Yeah.
And myself and my team are proof of that, and you guys are proof of that. So, I think sometimes when people want to get on TV and they want to act like, oh, it's so hard and I'm mad at him and this and that, it's like, when I see that stuff and when my guys see that stuff, we're like, that's terrible.
We had Ashley Gold on our show from Hardcore Pawn.
Yeah.
And we're like, how much of that's real? And she goes, listen, I'll film 150 takes of me being nice and doing a transaction. And then one is like the bad customer, and that gets on TV.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what how they chop that thing up to make it out to be like.
Yeah, obviously the product they're trying to make is a TV show. So I understand they need these things. They need these hooks that bring you back from commercial and all that. I'm starting to get it now. We've done enough of it where we kind of understand. But we remind each other they only have the material that you give them.
Yep.
If you want to give them something, they're going to use it. It's not their fault.
Well, for every one of those Jerry Springer, I call it a Jerry Springer show because it's all about, watching the train wreck. Yeah. You got like a cool show like Nicole Curtis, who's doing a lot of projects down in Detroit now, who's, again, no beeps, just, hey, I'm bringing back old stuff to life. And it kind of, when you were talking, it kind of reminded me of what she's doing for houses, what you're doing for classic cars. And I'm amazed that there's never been a TV show, especially in this town, right? Like classic cars, especially during the Dream Cruise and all that. And
exactly. That was one of the things I kept saying. And listen, I appreciate the car culture in California. Steve-O and I, when we were out there working on the wheel business, we would hang out in Inglewood on Crenshaw at the Home Depot Sunday nights. Hundreds and hundreds of lowriders. It's awesome. Great car culture. SoCal, Huntington Beach, a buddy of mine, Chip Foose, great shop. Lanzini, all those guys. They got it going on. Miami, Atlanta. They all have their own car culture, and it's cool. Go to the middle of Ocala. I was riding on the big wheels, jacked up cars. But what about Detroit?
Guess where they all came from.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess
what about Detroit? That's what I kept saying. Not that I had animosity. It's that I really wanted somebody to turn around and look and say, hey, hello, people. Do you remember where all this came from? Because we celebrate it over here and over there. But then when the economy turns, people don't realize why we had such a great economy, why we were so industrious, why manufacturing propped up this country. It's because of the automotive segment.
Right.
Where do you think robots come from the medical industry? It comes from here in Detroit.
Sure.
They're experimenting with seven-axis robots. They're probably going to do surgery someday. But you know what they're going to do first? They're going to build cars.
And now the big battery plants all coming here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, JCI opened a huge place in Ohio.
Yep.
They're doing all the start-stop technology, stuff like that. It's all here, and people forgot that. Okay, we got into the 90s, and it's about making money on stocks and tech and stuff like that. And we really did some damage. I think that's okay. I think that's part of the life cycle of countries and businesses and all that stuff. But now we have a clean slate. We have this open thing. Anybody can be successful now. Learn how to weld, learn how to set tooling, learn how to, you know, be an engineer and do drawings and run a CNC machine, whatever you want to do.
It's a lost art.
Trade
is a lost art.
And I was like,
you need a welder, and we know a guy.
Exactly.
I touched base on that on stage because we had a lot of young people there. And I want young people to know, because I'm sure, like everybody else, they keep hearing bad news. Well, it's not bad news. It's good news. It's good news in the fact that you can write your own destiny. All you have to do is be willing to work hard and go out and make it happen. I mean,
just
you
be passionate about it. We all say fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Well, and there's never been a time when you can literally invent yourself a job like there is now.
In the 50s, you know, it's so weird because I used to hear my grandfather talk about all these stuff that were just sayings to me. If you work hard, you know, it'll pay off. Okay, I heard that. I'm working hard. I work 18, 20 hours a day. When's it going to pay off, right? And then you hear these other things. Be good to people around you. You know what I mean? It's about the relationships.
Yep.
These are all old things, right? I remember when we used to do business on a handshake. How many times have you heard that, right? It's over and over and over again. I used to hear all these old things growing up. My grandfather's a very industrious person. He worked in the Penobscot building down here. He's orphaned here. And, you know, got adopted by some Dominican nuns and ended up being an entrepreneur and a great business person. He's the American story, and there's a lot of these around here.
Sure.
And they all tell the same thing.
My grandparents both ran moonshine as immigrants, so I mean,
my grandfather used to rake it up out of the Detroit River with my Uncle Carl, who was another orphan.
Right.
You know, yeah. So they have these great stories to tell, Robin Coltrane, but they pass on these business or these life lessons that are the what we think are just sayings we hear. Well, those ring true today more than ever. Do business on a handshake. Have that kind of relationship. Surround yourself with people who have the same goals. Surround yourself with people who you can do business like that with, who share the same virtue, because that's what's going to be the mainstay of Detroit and this country here coming up. And it really is a clean slate. Pick up a skill trade. You can make as much money as you want. You can be self-employed. It doesn't matter. It's awesome.
Well, that's the crazy thing. I mean, you know, you've got, so 2016 has basically been, you know, with a lot of the news that's coming around and some of the companies that are coming into town, it's okay to work with your hands again year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the flip side of that is all, you know, you talk about all the kids, like, there are a lot of high school kids that are walking around here today. There's no vocational tech
Absolutely.
In schools anymore.
You are 100%.
They've eliminated shop class. They've eliminated, you know, it's, not everybody's going to go to college and needs to be a freaking doctor.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you hit it right on the head. So here, this is one of our big problems right now. There's no voc ed schools left. There's some, but we've taken a lot of that away.
It isn't sexy.
Yeah, it isn't.
But right.
It's not mandatory in the the public school system.
So here's one of the problems. Our skill trades, and this is why I just decided to address that at TEDx right when I walked on stage, because I asked Charlie. I said, "What do you want me to talk about?" He said, "Listen, there's 600 high school students here. Inspire them. Send them a message." And I said, "You know what? Here's the message, and this is real. We have our skill trades is 55 years plus. One of our greatest resources, and they're retiring or they're passing away. It's terrible. We have nothing. We created a generation of people who, I got to go to college, and then I'm going to do this, right? And we have nobody.
And then we're not doing that.
So now, the one thing that pulled us out of the depression was the fact that this country made stuff. We actually manufactured things. Real, true wealth came out of this country, and it came out of Detroit. So now we want to get back to work. The numbers are great. We're in the most exciting time of automotive ever. We have autonomous vehicles. We have cars going 203 out of the box, 707 horsepower. We have the craziest things happening ever. So exciting. And everybody wants it. The demand's back. We have no workers. We have no workers. And Chrysler, everybody down to Pier, Michigan, and all these other organizations have identified that this is a major problem. They've came and talked to us about it. What do we do? How do you send the message? That's why that was the message I sent. You are 100% right. And that's what's going on. So now we want to get back to work. Drive through towns north of here, very industrious areas like Roseville. drive up Gratiot. Yeah. There's help wanted signs everywhere. We haven't seen that since 99. 99, those places started closing down. 05, there was a couple places open, garbage cars in the parking lot, people trying to squeak by. I know what that's all about. I was a part of it. There was times we didn't know if we were going to keep our house or we could feed the family. We worked hard. But you know what? This changed now. There's a help wanted sign on every building. There's new cars back in the parking lot. And I'm telling you, we're headed to the next revolution, just like the 50s. You can pick up something, do whatever you want to do, make whatever you want to make of yourself, but we need to fix the skilled trade issue.
Yeah.
But that, again, is not a problem. It's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for the next generation as long as they're willing to grab it and just kill it and make it their own and work hard.
Cool. Awesome.
Hey, yeah, no doubt. Appreciate spending time with us. Adam Janai, how do we find you? Mobsteel.com?
You guys are like, okay, just leave now.
No, I'm just talking.
No,
we can talk to you all day.
We'll keep you here all freaking day. I don't want to take up your afternoon.
Here's the problem. You put a microphone in front of me. I think some people are listening. I don't know. I heard us a lot. So, you know, I'm just going to keep going.
We'll get you on the main show on Monday night.
Yeah.
And then we got a whole half hour. We can dive deep into this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like anything else. When you know, like right away, you and I were talking before you fired it up. I'm like, oh, I was a little concerned because I saw IT. These guys are way too smart for me. I can't even program my iPhone. So I was a little concerned. But then when we started talking, I'm like, oh, shit. I got common ground with these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the same people.
Totally.
I can do this all day.
Right. We just got sport coats on. We should have dressed it.
No, that's good.
As soon as I walked in, I'm like, damn it, I should have worn shorts.
Yeah. You know, when I went up on stage and I saw it, when I walked in the Fox, man, and I don't really care. I'm not the kind of person that cares. I'm a blue-collar guy. I love shop life. I was raised there. That's where I'm the best.
Right.
But when I walked in the Fox and I saw everybody dressed up, I'm like, oh, boy, I just made a huge mistake. I'm in Dickies and a work boot.
You're supposed to be, though.
Back to work.
Dressing apart, you know?
Yeah.
He always wears a hockey jersey. I get mad at him when he's in a sport coat. I'm like, that's my, you know.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
How do we find you online? Yeah. Mobsteel.com?
Mobsteel.com, yep.
Cool.
And we have another company called the Detroit Steel Wheel Co.
Okay.
So we're actually manufacturing parts right here.
Nice. Awesome.
All U.S. content. And we're trying to expand that as quickly as we can. Just do our little part. I know we're not going to make a big change, but we're going to send a message. We're going to live by the words we preach. And we're going to start making stuff here, whether it makes sense or not.
Awesome.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.